Hello, everyone. Welcome to It's a Bronx Story,
a podcast by two lifelong Yankee fans about all things Yankees and a fun twist at the end of each episode.
So on this episode, Jatinder and I want to go over our preseason predictions. We predicted the standings, playoffs, and the awards for the AL and NL before the season started. And we just wanted to kind of go over that. Spoiler, they weren't so accurate. A lot of stuff that we didn't expect to happen happened, and we're just going to kind of explain why we thought what we thought at the beginning of the season. And then for our question of the day today, do you think Barry Bonds should be in the Hall of Fame? And as always, if you enjoy the episode, please leave a rating or review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Also, check us out on Twitter and Instagram at The Bronx Story. We'd love to hear from you guys. Thanks.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for the seventh inning stretch. So join us now for Take Me Out to the Ball Game. Ladies and gentlemen, he who breaks the rules goes back to the house of pain.
All right, so starting off, we will start with the standings that we predicted. And since this is a Yankees podcast, we'll start with the AL East. And I guess I'll start it off. I had the Yankees in first, Blue Jays in second, Rays in third, Red Sox in fourth, Orioles in fifth. And actually, just in general, you say what you had, and then we can kind of explain what our thought process was.
I had the exact same standings as you. Actually, I think our predictions was like pretty much spot on for a lot of these, except for some. But yeah, the AL East, I predicted it the same way you had it.
Yeah, and I think for me personally, I think most people in baseball expected the Yankees to finish first in the AL East, mm-hmm. just because they didn't really, on paper, didn't get any worse really in the offseason. And then the Rays and Red Sox, the Rays got a bit worse by losing Blake Snell. They lost Austin Meadows, I believe. They lost a few of their better players and didn't pick up on paper what seems to be a lot of big moves. The same thing kind of went with the Red Sox. They weren't that good last year, and then they didn't really do much to improve. So that's kind of why I had the Rays and Red Sox down there. And the Blue Jays, I expected their young players to really kind of turn the corner and do a lot better. I thought Vladdy would have a better season than he did last year. I thought Robbie Ray had the potential to do better. I thought Nate Pearson would be a much bigger player for them. So I just thought the young team with the momentum would just kind of push them into a better spot. And then the Orioles are the Orioles.
So like my thought process was the same thing. The Rays got worse in the offseason. The Red Sox, like, I didn't trust their starters. They didn't really have much starters going into the season. And then the Blue Jays, I really believed in their young guys. You know, I thought Vlad would have a good season, not the season he had this year, but I thought he would do really well. I thought Bo Bichette would take another leap. I thought he was going to be the face. I thought he was going to be the best position player on the Blue Jays. And I really did believe in Marcus Semien. I was a big believer in Semien. And then Ryu, I thought he would be just the anchor on their rotation, just be a nice veteran guy. So I thought the Blue Jays were scary. And ultimately, except for the Rays, like, clearly being a first, the AL East was kind of a really close race. You know, if this would have been like, if they had like an extra five games, like, it could have been this exact standings.
Was this George Springer's first year at the Blue Jays?
This was.
I can't remember if he played with them in the COVID season.
Yeah, I think this was his first year.
I don't. Yes. Yeah, it was. Okay, so that, I think that was another reason why I thought they would take the leap, because they added George Springer. But yeah, like you said, I mean, even the Rays, it was a really close race in like August when the Yankees were on their winning streak, because the Rays were also on a winning streak. The Red Sox had a huge lead at one point and they blew it. The Yankees had their blunders. The Blue Jays had theirs. It was really a bloodbath, and I didn't expect the Rays and Red Sox to do as well as they did, but they did. And then the actual standings ended up being Rays in first, Red Sox in second, Yankees in third, Blue Jays in fourth. So yeah, I mean, the AL East was a massacre. It was the most competitive division, and it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, 490 win teams. That's crazy.
Yeah. So moving on to the AL Central, I had the White Sox, Twins, Indians, Royals, and then Tigers.
And that was the exact same prediction I had as well.
Yeah. And in reality, it ended up being White Sox, Indians, or Guardians now, Tigers, Royals, Twins. So I think going into the year, I kind of just – I expected the Twins to not be as bad as they were. Well, I think
in 2019, they had a 100-win season. And then in the shortened season, they were on track for another 100 wins. And then I still expected, you know, I thought Byron Buxton would bust out and have like a full year. So I thought that was going to help them. I thought Berríos was going to just take it to another level. So like, I totally understand thinking the Twins would be in second.
Yeah, I mean, I don't like their whole team just played a lot worse than they could have. Yeah. And that kind of contributed to it. I mean, we both had the White Sox. I think the White Sox were clearly the best team in that division. And that's what ended up happening in real life. The White Sox ended the year 13 games up. So it was really just them. I mean,
yeah,
it's not really worth talking too much about the AL Central, because like we said, it was just the White Sox. Everyone else was kind of mediocre. But I will say the Tigers were fun.
I think they were the biggest surprise. I know they finished under 500 and you're like, God, that's not, but like, I really thought they would be a 100 loss team and they were right there at 500, you know? So
yeah,
I think.
Yeah. So I guess jump into the AL West. I had Astros, A's, Angels, Mariners, Rangers.
And I had the A's in first. So A's, Astros, Angels, Mariners, Rangers.
And this one ended up being Astros, Mariners, Athletics, Angels, Rangers. So So that, for my predictions, I mean, I thought the Astros would be the best team. I think they had a down year in the 60 game season, but I mean they have a lot of good players. I really didn't expect them to be that bad. I also didn't expect them to be incredible. I thought the AL West would be kind of a weak division, not super weak, but just not a powerhouse. But the Mariners were definitely the surprise of this division.
Oh, for sure. So going into it, I thought I believed in the Astros hitters, but I wasn't so sure about their pitching because we knew Verlander was done for the year. Framber at that point, I think when we made this prediction, I think we thought he was going to be done for the entire season. Mm-hmm. And then their big prospect, Forrest Whitley, had Tommy John surgery. So I was like, I'm not sure I know where they're going to get their, you know, pitching reinforcement. So I had the A's just being above the Astros. And then also, do you remember the A's had the best record in the AL? I'd like as recently as like June 20th or something.
Yeah, like, I do.
So like it's kind of crazy that they didn't even make the playoffs. Like we talk about collapse and stuff. Like I think everyone just kind of forgets about that. But they were the best team in the AL and then they just didn't make the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, I think the, I mean, the Mariners were fine. We both had them in fourth and they ended up in second, just barely missing the playoffs.
Yeah.
That was the, I don't think they were as good as their record indicated, just because I think they got really hot at a certain time. I don't think that was sustainable, but I'm excited for the future of that team. I want the Mariners to make the playoffs because it's been so long that the fan base deserves it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, the AL West was a pretty surprising one. It was a roller coaster throughout the year. When the Mariners traded a Kendall Graveman at the deadline for Toro, it was just like, are they just giving up? That was their best reliever, but they did even better after that. So props to them. So moving on to the AL or NL East, I had Braves, Mets, Phillies, Nationals, Marlins.
And I had Braves, Mets, Nationals, Phillies, Marlins. So same. Oh no, I had Nationals above Phillies.
So yeah, my logic there, I mean, the Braves were, I mean, Acuna, Freddie Freeman, they're pitching it. They were a sound team. I just thought they were the best team all around. And what actually happened was Braves in first, Phillies in second, Mets in third, Marlins in fourth, Nationals in fifth. I mean, the Nationals have just taken a deep dive off the edge after winning the World Series. I didn't expect them to be good, but not as bad as they were. But the other, like the Braves, Mets, and Phillies, that was a close race pretty much the whole year until the end when the Mets absolutely fell apart. They beat the Yankees with the Lindor three-home run game, and then kind of just fell off the planet after that.
I would say they fell off even before then. That was just the highlight of their season. But
yeah, that was their World Series ring. I mean, I'm not surprised that it was like the Mets and Phillies flipped, just because the Phillies have Bryce Harper. So as you saw this year, he can just carry an offense, and their pitching did pretty well, was behind Zach Wheeler.
Yeah. So I think it was just the addition of Francisco Lindor that really kind of sold me on him being like, I thought Lindor was the best, you know, shortstop. Yep. So adding him was going to help them so much. Like he's so great defensively. And then also adding his offense, like I really did. And you have DeGrom just fronting your rotation. Like, I really did think they were going to make some noise in the NL East. I just thought the Braves had more firepower.
Yeah, I mean, and the Braves, they looked good, and then they lost to Acuña, and everyone was like, okay, it's over. They were like 500 or right below 500 at the deadline.
I think they were below 500,
Yeah, and everyone thought they were going to sell, but then they made moves, but they weren't big moves, and everyone was like, I don't really know what's going on. I guess they're trying to compete, but don't want to sell the farm or anything. But I mean, props to them. The trades worked, and Jock and Duvall,
Soler
just kind of gave them that firepower that they needed to kind of push through. And as we know, they made it all the way. So that was pretty shocking.
Without Acuna and Soroka, who we thought was going to miss part of the year with the Achilles injury, and then he ended up missing the entire year. So
so that at least was, you know, that was an interesting one. The NL Central, I had Cardinals, Reds, Brewers, Cubs, Pirates.
I had Cardinals, Brewers, Reds, Cubs, Pirates. So I had Brewers over Reds. That was kind of our only difference.
And for me, I mean, the Cubs and Pirates were definitely the bottom two. I don't think either of them are, like, they're obviously weren't very good teams. The other three were kind of all the toss-up. I expected the Cardinals with Arenado to just kind of be the best team. The Brewers definitely had it in them. I didn't think they made any really big moves in the offseason to push them forward, but their pitching is just nuts. I mean, Corbin Burns, like, I knew he was good, but not that good. And then, so it ended up being the Brewers, Cardinals, Reds, Cubs, Pirates. The Reds, I thought their pitching would be really good, and it just, Luis Castillo just kind of wasn't really very great. And that
in the
that
first
really
half, he was really terrible. In the second half, he kind of, you know, showed signs of life, but by then it was kind of like, I don't know.
They made a push. They weren't out of it until the end of the year. But yeah. And so the Brewers ended up taking that one behind their pitching. The addition of Willy Adames really helped them too. The Cardinals came in second behind the 50 or 1,000 year old all stars for their team, Wainwright, Molina. So I mean, the NL Central, honestly, I think it was kind of a boring division, but I'm not an NL fan. Like, I don't follow the NL as closely. But the NL West, on the other hand, I mean, these predictions. I had Dodgers, Padres, Diamondbacks, Giants, Rockies. And did you had the same thing. I mean, we both had the Giants in fourth place. They ended up having the best record in baseball. That's obviously quite a big miss. I mean, if you tell me you thought the Giants were going to finish first in the NL West, you were lying. Like, there's no chance you actually thought that. You, if you're a Giants fan and just said it, sure, but there's no way you legitimately believed that. I mean, they really didn't do much in the offseason to make them that much better. It's just their team had one of those years where everyone put it together.
Just clicked, yeah. Even in 2020, like, there was nothing there that made you believe that, you know, they could have the best record in baseball.
Yeah, but that's the beauty of baseball. Sometimes, some years, teams just click and everything goes their way. Kind of like the 2018 Red Sox. That's kind of the Red Sox forte. They do nothing and then all of a sudden they're one of the best teams in the league.
They seem to go from like first to last like pretty consistently.
Yeah, but then if you just put the Giants on top and then the rest of it we got right with Dodgers, Padres, Diamondbacks, Rockies.
What did the Padres finish their record as? Was it under 500? That's probably one of the biggest disappointing teams.
Yes, they did. 4 games under.
Yeah.
The Dodgers finished 1 game behind the Giants, second best record in baseball. I mean, that the Dodgers team was incredible and got even better at the deadline. So yeah, that was kind of expected. That was one of the few things that people just expected to happen this year, and it actually happened. The Padres, that was such a disappointing season. And I can't even imagine how disappointing it was for the fans.
It's crazy.
But yeah, so that's kind of our predictions of the standing. So now we'll go through what we thought would be the seeds for the playoffs and then kind of just go through what we predicted for the playoffs. So on my end, I had the Yankees as the 1 seed, White Sox 2, Astros 3, and then Twins as the first wild card and Blue Jays as the second.
So I had everything except I had the A's as the division winner, and that was it.
Yeah. So, I mean, obviously Yankees, White Sox, Astros, I picked them to win their divisions. That's pretty self-explanatory.
Yep.
The Twins, like I said, I mean, they were good the last 2 years. I expect them to continue. They seem to just hit. Maybe the dead ball really hurt them. But, I mean, I just did not expect them to be that bad. And then the Blue Jays, we talked about it a bunch before. We thought, like, I thought their young guys would carry them. It ended up being just quite they're just barely too little offensively, just because, I mean, they had one of the best offenses in the league, but their pitching was just so bad for long periods of the season that it just wasn't enough. Even with a Cy Young winner, Robbie Ray, their bullpen was just horrendous.
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, and it ended up being Rays 1, Astros 2, White Sox 3, right?
Yep.
And then wild card 1 was Red Sox, wild card 2 was the Yankees. Like we said, the Red Sox didn't expect them to be that good. But yeah, I'll let you explain your thought process. I'm sure it was pretty much the same.
Yeah, I mean, I just thought the Yankees were the clear favorite in the AL. So I was like, yeah, they're going to have the best record. I thought the White Sox made a lot of moves in the offseason to like put themselves in that position. And then I told you why I thought the A's would be over the Astros. I thought they just didn't have enough pitching reinforcement to help them, but boy, did they have it. Like Luis Garcia came out of nowhere. Framber just like coming in from his injury and, you know, pitching well. So, and then Greinke just, you know, I don't think he had an amazing year, but you know, Greinke just does Greinke things. And then the Twins and Blue Jays, you know, same reasons why you said it.
Yeah. And I mean, yeah, the Red Sox and Rays were kind of the shocking ones in that.
Yeah.
But I mean, the Rays are the Rays, the Red Sox are the Red Sox. It's kind of just what they do. They do the unexpected.
You see, the thing is that the Rays, like, I didn't have them, but that's less shocking to me than the Red Sox being in it. Just because, you know, the Rays, you know, they kind of, you know, they're always, you know, fielding competitive teams with nothing. But the Red Sox, I just saw their roster construction and didn't see any way they could be a playoff team.
I honestly still don't really know how they were a playoff team. Like, I guess their pitching just did better than I expected, but yeah. And then for the NL, Dodgers, Braves, Cardinals, obviously those were the division winner picks. And then wild card, I had Padres and Mets. So yeah. And yours was the exact same. So my thought process, obviously with Dodgers, Braves, Cardinals, expected them to be the best. Dodgers, easy number one favorites. Mm-hmm. Padres and Mets, like we said, like Mets with Lindor, I thought that was what they needed to really be competitive. And then the Padres, I just loved the team. I mean, Tatis and Machado on the left side of the infield is just
And amazing. Then you add Blake Snell and Yu Darvish. Mm-hmm. Like you could, I definitely saw them competing with the Dodgers. Like I thought the Giants Dodgers would be the Giants would be the Dodgers Padres.
Yeah, and you'll see with my playoff predictions that I kind of had the same line of thinking. But yeah, so it ended up being Giants 1. Giants 1. Brewers 2, Braves 3, wild card 1 was the Dodgers, and wild card 2 was the
Cardinals.
If you want to go over if you had any extra input for your NL side.
No, I think he kind of covered everything with that.
Yeah. So, okay. So now for the DS round, I had the Yankees facing off the Blue Jays. And like we said,
you don't want to talk about the wild card first?
Oh, did I?
Well, I mean.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, so in the wild card, I had the Blue Jays being the Twins. I thought that young offense in one game would just, like, their excitement and having. I thought Ryu would be their ace, but it ended up being Robbie Ray. But I thought they had one starting pitcher enough to really shut down an offense for one game. So I had the Blue Jays over the Twins. And then Padres, Mets, I mean. Like I said, I thought the Padres are going to be really good, and I thought they would win convincingly over the Mets with Yu Darvish and their offense just being too much for the Mets to handle. I mean, the Mets have DeGrom, but yeah.
So I had, you know, Blue Jays over the Twins for the same reason, and then I had Mets over Padres because they had DeGrom. I thought, you know, DeGrom was just too good in a one-game series. He's going to get it done, and they'll be able to defeat the Padres.
You know, sometimes I think I forget about DeGrom or like just the Mets pitching just because they just always seem to get hurt every single year.
Yeah.
And when DeGrom doesn't get hurt, the Mets just aren't that good. So, yeah. Okay. So then moving on to the ALDS or just the DS round, I had Yankees beating the Blue Jays. Like we said, I mean, the Yankees were the second highest odds for the World Series this year. Mm-hmm. No one expected their offense to be as dead as it was. I don't think anyone really expected their pitching to be as good as it was. But I mean, obviously didn't turn out that way. Wild card ended up being the Red Sox over the Yankees. So the Yankees didn't even make it to the ALDS. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I didn't think the Blue Jays pitching was good enough to stop the Yankees hitting. And I just thought the Yankees hitting was better than the Blue Jays, especially in a full playoff series.
Yeah.
And I thought the Yankees pitching was much better than the Blue Jays. So that's why I had them. And then I had the White Sox over the Astros. Like I said, I thought the White Sox were really good, and I didn't think the Astros were great. I thought they would just get into the playoffs because the AL West wasn't that strong. I thought the White Sox had a better offense and better pitching because a lot of the Astros pitching was kind of up in the air. So what about you for your ALDS?
So I had the Yankees over the Blue Jays in four games. And I think my thought process was pretty much the same as yours, but like, I didn't see Robbie Ray even being a factor in the Blue Jays run at all. Like, so I figured, you know, Cole would be better than Ryu. I really did like the Yankees pitching over the Blue Jays pitching. And I thought just our offense was just better. So we'll just beat them through brute force ultimately. Mm-hmm. And then I had White Sox defeating the A's.
Yeah.
In a sweep. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I guess I'll let you start with your NLDS.
Sure. So I just had the Dodgers over the Mets. I thought it was going to be a competitive series, but I thought ultimately the Dodgers just have too much better pitching. I thought DeGrom would pitch twice in that series, but it wouldn't be enough to beat the Dodgers. And then I had the Braves defeating the Cardinals.
Yep. Yeah. And I had Padres beating the Dodgers. I just thought the Padres would be kind of like an upset, a shocking win over the Dodgers, just like big playoff energy for them and kind of come out there and surprise a lot of people. And the Cardinals over the Braves is what I had, just because the Cardinals have black magic in the playoffs. So that was our DS predictions. What actually happened, the Red Sox beat the Rays, and then the Astros beat the White Sox for the AL. So then the ALCS was Red Sox Astros, and then the NLDS, as we said, the Giants ended up getting the one seed. The Dodgers had beat the Cardinals in the wild card to make it to face the Giants. And right, am I thinking about this?
So
yeah. So the Giants faced the Dodgers, and the Dodgers won that. And then the Cardinals faced the Braves, or no, the Brewers faced the Braves. Sorry.
Yeah.
And the Braves ended up beating the Brewers behind the Braves pitching, just kind of going lights out. So that set up the NLCS of the Dodgers versus the Braves. So then moving on to what I thought the ALCS would be, the Yankees White Sox. Again, I mean, I'll just repeat it again. We thought the Yankees were the favorite in the AL. I thought their offense and pitching was just too much for the White Sox. NLCS, I thought the Padres were just a better team than the Cardinals in going into the season. So I thought they'd be able to win relatively easily and move on to a World Series of Yankees Padres.
Yeah. So I don't know why in the spreadsheet I have an inconsistency. Do you see this, Ryan?
Yeah.
Where I am? I have Braves defeating the Dodgers in seven games, but then I have the Yankees defeating the Dodgers in the World Series.
Yeah.
Wild. I'm going to assume I meant I had the Dodgers defeating the Braves and then Yankees defeating the Dodgers. I think that was kind of a biased decision. Like I felt like the Dodgers had the better chance just going into the season. And then this was just ultimately the teams with the best odds of going to the World Series. That's ultimately what I did. And as a Yankee fan, I just said Yankees.
Yeah. But, I mean, I picked Yankees over Padres. I thought the Yankees were a better team than Padres, and I thought the Padres luck would run out there. And as we know, in reality, the Astros advanced to the World Series and the Braves beat the Dodgers. And the Braves ended up beating the Astros to win the World Series, which if you told people that at the deadline, people would be like, you're absolutely insane. No chance. Yeah. We all know Trevor Plouffe predicted it before the season even started. I mean, multiple people did. But yeah, so our predictions were very, very bad.
I think I'll give the edge to you, even though your World Series was completely wrong. I think in terms, I think
someone's here.
What happened?
Yours was completely wrong too.
Yeah, but I said I'll give you the edge.
Yeah.
Just.
Yeah.
Also, I predicted Braves defeat Dodgers in seven, and then I still can't believe I made that stupid mistake. But yeah, let's go into our awards predictions. I think this will really set us apart. See who did better.
Half of them are pretty much the same, but yeah. All right, so we'll start with MVP. I had Aaron Judge winning AL MVP and Acuna winning NL MVP. Mm-hmm. What do you have?
I had Trout and Juan Soto. So Trout is very safe. I didn't really go out on a limb there. That's just kind of, the safe choice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I picked Judge just because – you'll see with the rest of the awards, I kind of just expected a huge year for the Yankees and a lot of stuff to go right. And I just thought if Judge stays healthy, there's no reason he can't win the MVP. Yeah. I obviously did not anticipate Shohei Ohtani being one of the best players of all time in this season. And I didn't expect Vlad to be as good as he was, nor did I expect Simeon to be as good as he was. Although I think Judge had finished ahead of Simeon in MVP voting. I mean, it definitely could go either way, but Judge finished fourth. So fourth or fifth. And I wasn't too far off. You were even more far off because Mike Trout got hurt. Yeah. So that's kind of a default, but then NL MVP, I kind of got the flip side. Acuna got hurt and you had Soto, which
finished second.
Yeah, and he was really close. Obviously, Harper won NL MVP, an amazing season. I mean, if you don't remember it, go back and look at his stats from was it 2015? I believe his 2015 season was one of the best seasons of all time.
Yeah.
Especially hitting-wise. So if you need a refresher of how good Bryce Harper is, just go look at his baseball reference page, and it's – 2015, he had 42 home runs, a 460 OBP, 649 slugging, 1.1 OPS, and a 198 OPS plus. Yeah. That's
I was going to say, and in 2017, he was in conversations for the MVP before he got hurt when he slipped on first base. Remember that?
Yeah.
He was in conversations for the MVP as well.
Yeah, and that 2015 season is one of the best seasons outside of Barry Bonds or other known steroid users in like a very long time. So he's amazing.
It's the best hitting season we've seen.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, your NL MVP was really close. My AL MVP was kind of close. Cy Young's, I had Gerrit Cole and Walker Buehler.
Yeah, and I had Glasnow and Walker Buehler. I think we were pretty much thinking the same thing with Walker Buehler. I thought he was going to be the ace of the Dodgers. And I just looking at the way he pitches, like he seems so smooth. Like I thought that was an easy prediction there. And then for AL, I thought Glasnow, I just really liked his stuff. And I thought the only thing that was limiting him is walks. You know, if he could get those under control, because I felt like he throws so hard, he gets a lot of strikeouts. If he could just control his walk issues, I think he could turn it in. He could turn himself into a Cy Young.
Yeah, and I mean that's not a bold prediction at all. I think that's a pretty realistic prediction. I mean, Gerrit Cole was on pace to win the Cy Young. Then the sticky band happened. It took him a while to figure out how to pitch without it. And then he was doing well again. And then he got hurt and everything. He could have won the Cy. If he didn't get hurt, I think it's not unrealistic to think he would have won.
Remember the last series? Like, it could have been like, it could, if, you know, if Ray just got, you know, destroyed and then Cole just pitches out really well, like it could have flipped the race right there. Going into the last, you know, last game that they pitched, it could have switched.
Yeah, and I mean, it was pretty clear that Gerrit Cole just, after he came out of that Angels game, which he did, he pitched really well in, he just didn't have a good start after that, I don't believe. Yeah. He might have had a one, but he just wasn't the same pitcher. And you saw it in the wild card game. He just didn't have it. He wasn't Gerrit Cole. But he finished second, so I was close.
So what Gerrit Cole, I didn't think he would have a bad year. I just wasn't sure if voters would give him the Cy Young just because, you know, because Yankee bias. So I thought he just wasn't going to get it unless he absolutely dominates and he's the very clear number one.
Yeah, that's fair. And Walker Buehler, I mean, what did he finish third, I think? Third or fourth?
And he wasn't even in the finalist. Was he not?
He must have been fourth. Was the finals Wheeler, Burns, and Scherzer?
Yeah.
Okay, let me see what he... Walker Buehler finished... finished fourth. Okay. I was forgetting about Zach Wheeler. So, I mean, we weren't far off. I don't think we expected Scherzer to still do as well as he did. And then, obviously, Corbin Burns and Zach Wheeler.
Yeah.
Like, we knew they were good, but it was kind of a situation like, I don't know, what's a team? Like, but yeah, but Vladdy. Like, we thought Vladdy would do well, but not as good as he did. Just like those, like Corbin Burns, Zach Wheeler, we didn't expect them to be that good, like Cy Young tier, but they were. And I mean, we weren't off that far on either of Cy Youngs.
Walker Buehler was,
Glasnow was doing good until he got hurt.
Yeah. And Cole finished second. So,
yeah. And Buehler had a great year. He just had really difficult competition for the Cy Young.
Yeah. Yep.
And then rookie of the year, I had Randy Rosarena and Ian Anderson.
Yeah, and I had Mountcastle and Ian Anderson.
So that one, right? Yeah. Randy Rosarena did win. So props to me. I got something right. I mean, I went with the safe pick. He looked really good and then played well his actual rookie year. So I took the safe route and got it right. NL, did Ian Anderson, he got hurt, right?
He did get hurt, but I still think he finished within like the top five.
India won, right?
Yeah, yep.
The NL rookie of the year wasn't...
It wasn't a slam dunk, yeah.
And also, like, no one was that good in the NL.
Yeah, I thought Trevor Rogers, if he pitched more innings, really could have separated himself as the Rookie of the Year winner.
Yeah.
But he just didn't have enough innings to really be like, yep, he should win it.
Yeah. And I mean, I think if Ian Anderson didn't get hurt, he could have won. But,
yeah.
But he did. Patrick Wisdom was a surprising one. That's a name nobody really knew.
Yeah. So, you know, it's funny to me just because the shortened year. So, like, Mountcastle and Ian Anderson, they both got Rookie of the Year votes 2 years in a row, which is just, you know, weird to me.
Yeah. And A surprising one in the AL was Wander Franco. I mean, he was a top prospect. People knew he was good, but he came in and just kind of looked like a player that's been playing for 4 years.
He came up so late, so you didn't think he would even be in the conversation, you know?
Yeah.
So, like, if he got called up in, you know, June, you'll be like, okay, I could see him being in the conversation. But he didn't get – when did he get called up? Was it July? Like, I don't think
– I think – he only played like, I don't even remember. Like, he didn't play that many games.
Yeah, he did not. I'm
like 60 maybe. But it, like, while you're looking that up, it was like Gary Sanchez's 2016 year. He just played so well in a short period of time that there was no, like, you had to put him up there.
Yeah. So he made his debut June 22nd, and then how many games did he play? Because I know he did have an injury. He played 70 games.
70, yeah. So he lost his rookie status, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, the rookie of the year, I went with the safe pick and got one right. I am the only person to get anything actually right.
I think you did better with your predictions.
Yeah, just I mean, there's no standings argument there.
And awards, yeah.
I'm the only one that got anything right. I mean, this was fun to do, I think.
It was, yeah.
We obviously didn't have the podcast at that point, but next, I'm excited for when this lockout ends and we know the teams. And then probably like the last week of spring training going into this, we'll do this again and just record our actual thought process while we do it. And then at the end of the season, we'll recap it again. Hopefully next year we actually get a little bit closer.
It just shows you how hard it is to predict baseball though. Like,
yeah,
you know, like even, you know, even your safe picks aren't really safe picks, are they?
Yeah. And that's it's such a fun thing about baseball because anything can happen. It's such a hard sport that like, it's so hard to be consistently great.
Yeah.
And that's why Mike Trout is so like enamored in the baseball world because he's just every year he's just so good and just doesn't
even
happen.
This year he was really good. He just got hurt. And
yeah, I mean, if he didn't get hurt, he could have he couldn't have won.
I think Shohei, gets it. Yeah.
That's okay. I want to talk about that really quick. What do you think it takes for Shohei to not – like, do you think it gets voter fatigue or do you think he's just not going to be as good in the future so he won't – because if he does what he did this year, which for him doesn't seem like he had some insane year, like, he should realistically just win every year.
Yeah, I think ultimately it might be just voter fatigue and then – or they'll just like ultimately have their own sort of award where it's like, yeah, I know he's a pitcher slash hitter. So he kind of is more valuable inherently.
Yeah.
But maybe like, you know.
Yeah, it's just, it's not fair.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
But yeah. And it's not even like the LeBron argument where there was definitely voter for him, but because like he wasn't like hands and shoulder or heads and shoulders above everyone else, but there's no one that even came close to Shohei in terms of war.
Yeah.
Like he was just way better, but that'll be interesting to see in the coming years.
And the thing is that I still think like his pitching can get better. Like he'll put in more innings and then even hitting like maybe not the home runs, but I think like he'll be more of a more complete player in that sense. Yep. Like,
I mean, and he can run.
He does everything. It's crazy. So
he's not like a typical DH style hitter where he can't really run. He can actually run too. Like it's insane.
I think he had 20 stolen bases this year.
Yeah.
So yeah.
First 20 strikeout, 20 home run, 20 stolen base guy. But yeah, that was our predictions. Didn't go well. Hopefully next year goes better. I think now we can went to our question of the day. Do you think Barry Bonds should be in the Hall of Fame? Or did you have something else?
Yeah, I was going to say, so next year, are you still going to predict the Yankees winning the World Series? Because I feel like that's going to be my prediction no matter what.
Depends on what happens in the offseason.
Okay.
If they don't sign any big names, then no. I'm
Okay.
that like I tried to predict with as little bias as I can. Like the Yankees were the second highest favorite to win the World Series. It's not like it was
Yeah.
a complete
Yeah.
Yankees bias to pick them to win it all. But this year, now that I know what the team is like
Yeah.
without the juiced ball and like and all of that, I'm just gonna need to see them do some big
Yeah.
things in
Yeah.
order for me to actually think they can win the World Series. But like a lot of these teams have shown, there's a chance that they all just figure it out with a new hitting coach and they can take over. Oh, we never mentioned that. Their new hitting coach.
Did we not?
No, I don't think we recorded an episode and like talked about it much. I think, okay, we'll talk about that when the season's coming up. And we'll do like a deep dive into the team and what we expect. I think that'll be a fun episode to do. But yeah, we'll save that. A lot of people already know about it. So I guess now we can jump into the question. What do you think? Should Barry Bonds be in the Hall
Yes.
of Fame? Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. Just everything he's done, like even before he touched steroids, like he was a Hall of Famer. And even people that was taking steroids didn't even put up the numbers he could do. So I think you can't tell the story of baseball without having Barry Bonds there. And I think he's a Hall of Famer.
And let's just real quick. Well, how many World Series? Oh yeah, I'm recording or sharing my screen. Okay. Well, for anyone that doesn't know, Barry Bonds was a three-time MVP with a top five, two top five, a top two, and a top four finish before he ever took steroids. He had Okay. From 92 to he started roids in 1998, like allegedly. From 92 to 97, he had over a one OPS every single year. Like, that's like Mike Trout. That
I was going to say,
might be better than Mike Trout.
I think he would be a lot more appreciated now than he was back in the days. And
Yeah.
that's kind of fueled his allegedly why he wanted to take steroids was because he wasn't getting the attention or like the
Yeah.
praise that he got. It was kind of Sammy Sosa, Mark McGwire. So he was like, okay, let me do this then.
Yeah, and it's just like real quick from 90 to 97, his OPS plus was 170, 160, 204, 206, 183, 170, 188, 170. Like, and the fact that he didn't win MVP for like you said, he was just underappreciated. Like a one dot OPS 4 straight years and didn't finish top three any of those years.
Yeah.
And also, I forgot to mention, in the span of 90 to 97, he won seven, eight gold gloves. Wait, seven gold gloves. Like before he
Yeah.
took steroids, he was a Hall. Like he was, it had the trajectory clear in a way to be a Hall of Famer. He led the league in walks all the time. Like he was already hitting 30, 40 home runs a year.
Yeah. Like I think he was, but do you think he was going to be an upper echelon Hall of Famer? Like inner circle.
Yes.
You think so?
Do you think Mike Trout will be?
I was going to say the same thing. I think he would have too. I just felt like the question needed to be asked though.
Yeah, he was literally a better version of Mike Trout before he started
Yeah.
taking steroids. Mike Trout doesn't have seven gold gloves.
Yeah.
I don't know how good Barry Bonds' actual defensive metrics are because
Yeah.
it was back then, but regardless. But then, like you said, when he started taking steroids, it's not like people were still just as good as him and he was just like a little bit better while taking roids. It just wasn't even close. Yeah. No one in baseball history was even close. Like, his stretch from 2001 to 2004 is without a doubt the greatest stretch of baseball of all time for a hitter. Like, OPS plus of 259, 268, 231, 260, four straight MVPs, four straight silver sluggers, OBP over 500 every year. Like,
so Ryan, look at his 1993 season before he started steroids, and then look at Bryce Harper's 2015 season that we were just raving about.
He was still much better. Like,
yeah, it's insane. He's so good. I think he's clearly a Hall of Famer, one of the best in the game. Like, I don't think you can leave him out, even with steroids allegations.
Yeah, and it's not like he just started walking a lot because when people were afraid of him. He was already leading the league in walks half the years he played. But then, I mean, so his 2001 and his 2004 seasons are like two of the greatest seasons of all time. I mean, 2002 was as well, but 2001 obviously was the year he hit 73 home runs, 177 walks, 328 batting average, 515 OBP, 863 slugging, 1.379 OPS. Like, that just doesn't make sense.
Yeah, that's insane.
Like, but then 2004, only a measly 45 home runs, 232 walks, 362 batting average, 609 OPS.
That's not slugging, on base percentage.
Oh, yeah. That's insane. OBP 609, 812 slugging. Like, those are video game numbers. Those are, you play MLB The Show and put yourself on rookie, that's what you get. It wasn't fair. He got intentionally walked 120 times.
That's insane.
Like,
so Ryan.
Yeah.
I was gonna say, my favorite stat. So in 2005, he got injured. In 14 games, he still had a higher WAR than Juan Pierre, who played 162 games.
I mean, he had a 1.0 OPS. Like, it's,
yeah,
it. And his numbers just, they don't make sense. They just don't. He struck out 41 times. And he walked 232 times. He had over five times as many walks as strikeouts.
Like, that's insane.
His numbers aren't human. There's a video. I forget what the YouTube channel is. I'm sorry. Let me try and look it up. There's a video about what if Barry Bonds just didn't swing the bat in 2004.
I think that's Foolish Baseball. Maybe
that's who I thought it was. I'm gonna look it up really quick to be sure. Secret Base is who it is. What if Barry Bonds had played without a baseball bat? Chart party. Like, and he still would have been good because his eye was so good and his bat to ball skills were just so far above everyone else that it just wasn't fair. And I don't care if he took steroids, because he has the most walks and intentional walks of all time. That's fun. But like, he has a career 1.051 OPS. Like, does Sammy Sosa have that? Does Mark McGwire have that? Does, like, what's his name? The 40-40 guy. Jose Canseco? Like, none of those guys are even close to him. And they weren't that good until they started taking steroids. And like, I understand that
he could run, he could field, he could hit. He could do everything before he even touched steroids. Like, it's gonna be. I know he's not gonna make it, but it's sad to me that he's not gonna make it.
And it's sad because if he played in this day and age, he would have never touched steroids because people would have already understood how good he was. and he would have been a Hall of Famer, and this wouldn't be a discussion. And it sucks. It sucks to see it, but that's how it is. And baseball voters are ridiculous for not voting him in. But yeah, so I'd love to hear what you guys think. I know a lot of people just don't think he should be one just because of that. But yeah, I'd love to know what you guys think. All right, thanks for listening, guys. This has been It's a Bronx Story. If you enjoyed the podcast, please leave a rating and review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you send to your podcast. Thanks. You can check us on Twitter and Instagram at The Bronx Story.
Let's go, Yankees. Let's. Well, what is my thing? Well, what am I going to say?
No. Who do you want to sign?
I mean, Correa, but I did that last time.
I don't know. You got to come up with something.
I feel like too much pressure. Let's go, Yankees. Let's go, Perry Pons in the Hall of Fame.
There you go.
That one is drilled deep to right field. There it goes. See ya. Tie game. 2-run home run for Judge.